This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. This week, the Bessie Smith Cultural Center here in Chattanooga launched a digital series to spur dialogue on race relations. The series is called Bessie's Front Porch, featuring community members reading children's books. Elijah Cameron is Director of Community Relations for the center.
Elijah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Looking forward to talking with you today.
Tell us more about the Front Porch.
The Bessie Front Porch is designed to bring about some talks on the race relations, diversity, civil rights here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and some of the changes that we've seen over the years here in Chattanooga. We came up with this idea because of some of the things that were happening around the country. And of course, the COVID-19 has closed down most of the businesses around here. And we being one of those businesses that were closed, but most of our activities take place with people coming into the museum. We wanted to be able to do some things to help some of our people to understand what was happening around race and diversity here in the city of Chattanooga. So we felt a need to be able to talk to them digitally, and that's what we're doing here now.
So tell us more about the series. There's something new every week.
Yes, we're having prominent citizens that come in reading different books about race relations, diversity, things like what makes us different, things of that nature. So we've started our series with Deion Jennings from Tennessee Valley Federal Credit Union. She was reading a book on what makes us different. We will have different people coming in, reading different stories, hoping that we will get some feedback with questions. And we even want to have people texting us for questions and things of that nature. We hope to even have people come in and talk about some of their experiences growing up here in Chattanooga, some of the challenges that some of us may have faced as we went into the workforce here in Chattanooga. Sometimes there have been those who have been first in their field. I think we may have some people coming in talking about being the first Black executive at Erlang Hospital, being the first Black executive with DuPont and things of that nature. We have those people that we've talked to, and we hope to have those discussions on our front porch, how it affected their families, how they were treated in the workplace in the beginning when they first came on board. And we also hope to have some talks with some of those people who were impacted by the civil rights movement when they were kids and their families or their fathers or mothers were involved. So we hope to have those kind of discussions on our front porch also.
And part of it is just providing a perspective or reinforcing a perspective, not only within the Black community, but beyond the Black community at a time where we have COVID, we have the economic blows, we've had the killing of George Floyd, the protests, the unrest, all of this happening one after another, happening all at the same time. What you're describing sounds like you're trying to ground people beyond the present, as important and as difficult as the present is to deal with right now.
Correct. We view this as an opportunity to have a discussion about diversity, race relations. As you know, America has been a country that, for lack of a better term, had the cover over their face, but the cover has now been pulled off. So it's time to have some dialogue about these things. It's time to be able to tell the truth about America and what's happening or what has happened in America. And in order to get to a solution, we have to talk about those issues that have gone on for a long time here in this country. We need to be able to bring people together and to dialogue in a positive way to ensure that we're doing the things that will help us move forward for our children, our grandchildren, even those coming after our grandchildren.
And what you're talking about, you've seen it, you've lived it. Right here in Chattanooga, you have seen some things change over the years. You've seen some things that still haven't changed.
Correct. I've looked around and I've talked to some friends. Back in the 60s when we were looking at our 60s and the early 70s, when we were looking at trying to make changes, there were those of us who were marching. We had more Blacks marching then. But today I'm encouraged because I see more young whites, all the whites out there been a part of this protest and these demonstrations and wanting to know and wanting more answers than we've been able to give in the past. So I'm very encouraged that we are moving in the right direction. I just feel that we need to come together with some type of action plan to help us move forward. I think it's going to be very important in the next coming weeks here, especially in Chattanooga, that we have some people sit down and start dialoguing about how do we get to the next level? How do we move forward with the things that are happening here in our country to make this country a better place to live?
It's also a generational dialogue.
Exactly, exactly. Ray, you know, you and I, we've been around for a minute or two. So we've got to help those young people coming behind us. Unfortunately, the history books don't talk about some of the things that we see happening in America. The history books don't talk about the contribution that blacks actually made to the growth of America. Our kids don't see that. They only tell part of the truth. They don't tell the whole truth. So we've got to be able to tell the whole truth to make us understand how and why it's so important that Black Lives Matter, Asian Lives Matter, the Indian Lives Matter. We've got to be able to talk about all these things to make America be the one America that we need to have it be.
All right. Elijah, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ray, for having us. We certainly appreciate the work that you do at WUTC. We want you to continue doing that good work, and hopefully we can continue to be a partner with you in the things that we are doing here at the Bessie Smith Culture Center.
More information online at BessieSmithCC.org, on Facebook at Bessie Smith Cultural Center, and on Twitter at The Bessie. Tuesday is the deadline here in Tennessee to register to vote in next month's state and federal primary elections and in county general elections. The League of Women Voters of Chattanooga is partnering with two women's groups to share information on voter registration through places of worship. Valerie Armstrong is with the Chattanooga Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, and Tina Fielder Gibson is a member of the National Coalition of 100 Black Women, Chattanooga Chapter, Incorporated.
Valerie, Tina, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Tell us more about this effort.
We formed a partnership with the Chattanooga Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated, and the National Coalition of 100 Black Women, Chattanooga Chapter, Incorporated, as well as the League of Women Voters. And our goal has been to come together to get out the message of how to register to vote, why it's important to be registered to vote and getting ready for the upcoming election, which is going to be on August the 6th. It's just important for us that we get as much information out in the community as possible. With COVID-19, that has kind of impacted our communities. There's just a lot of conversation and questions around that. And so our partnership allows us to be able to get that message out.
And once people are registered, we really, really emphasizing that they need to go vote. Just because you're registered, we need you to go to the polls and vote.
What additional steps is this partnership taking given these extraordinary circumstances?
We've reached out to, because we know how important the faith community is and our churches are in the communities. So we've collaborated and reached out to over 120 churches and faith organizations across Chattanooga and Hamilton County. We've shared key registration dates in regards to absentee voting, in regards to when you need to get to the election commission or how you can register online to vote, and key important dates. And we've asked for the pastors and the faith leaders to share this information with their congregation.
You are stressing online registration and absentee voting at this time, not only with the circumstances due to COVID, but also what we have seen here recently in our area with the primary election in Georgia.
Yes, I think it's very important that people do the early voting, and that will be starting Friday, July 17th through Saturday, August 1st. So if you don't want to be in a crowd, we really encourage people to do the early voting. And then absentee ballot, the deadline for that is July 30th, and they do have a slot on the absentee balloting where you can pick COVID as a reason you don't want to go to the polls. I just submitted mine and mailed it yesterday.
Just a little bit more information that came out, I saw relative to absentee voting. And this is for those individuals, if this is your first time voting, as it relates to absentee voting, it's a requirement that you have to show up in person to show your identification. So what does that look like? That basically means that if you register to vote, go to the election commission and have your state issued ID or a form of ID for registering to vote. Again, the deadline for actually registering to vote is going to be on July the 7th. That takes care of that in-person part for you. And then you can request your absentee ballot as well. Call the Hamilton County Election Commission and you can get that information from them. In addition, you can also go online and request the absentee ballot. But let's say you're not able to get to the Election Commission, register in person, and you actually decide to do it online, then that means that you would need to actually go to an actual poll and vote in person. And this is for first-time voters. It's just critical that as a first-time voter, you know the difference, being able to show up, have your identification, and how that aligns with the absentee ballot process.
You can also go to govotetn.com, and it has the same information that Hamilton County Elections Commission has on it also.
It's important that everyone knows that their vote counts. I think that's something that comes up a good bit when we're talking to individuals about registering to vote is, does my vote actually count? And yes, it does. It means it even more at the state and the local level, because as we look at voter turnout in our Hamilton County and Chattanooga elections, they're very low numbers. But someone can win an election by one vote here in Hamilton County or in Chattanooga. So your vote absolutely counts. And as you're seeing things that are happening in the community, if you have concerns about certain elected officials, this is your opportunity to get someone in that aligns with your values, that aligns with your voice in the community, is to be able to get out. And one of our themes that we're using this year is power in our vote. Our vote has power. And as you're seeing things that are happening across the country right now, it's even more critical that you get out, you cast your vote, and you vote for those candidates that align with your values and who you are and things that you want to see happening in the community.
And as a boomer, yes, I'm aging myself, I'm really encouraged with the young people getting out and voting and protesting in the streets. And I want that vigor and that anger and that disillusionment showing up at the polls. In Tennessee, we have one of the most crucial races happening with voting for a Senate. There's some Senate seats available that can make or break things going on in Washington, and Tennessee is one of those crucial states. So local elections are just as important. The school boards, the U.S. House of Representatives, the Senate race, even a session court seat is open in Tennessee and in Hamilton County. So I'm really encouraged with the young people getting involved and knowing that their vote counts, because a lot of them are disillusioned. Oh man, it doesn't matter. My one vote doesn't matter. It does matter. And I think they're coming to the understanding that, yes, you can't just sit home and gripe. You have to get out here and do something. And they're doing it in a big way.
And Ray, one thing that individuals can do to educate themselves around which seats are on the ballot and who's running for what seat is to go to the Hamilton County Election Commission. If you go online to the website, or if you go to the Go Vote TN app, you can pull up the ballot for us here in Hamilton County and who is actually on the ballot and what those seats are. One of the things that Tina just spoke about was the fact that we have several school board seats that are actually up. So we actually have four school board seats that's on the ballot. One of them is uncontested, but if you're in District 1, District 2, or District 7, those particular school board seats, as well as District 2, are up. So it's important that you educate yourself around that. And so they can pull up the ballot and find out who's on the ballot and then begin to do their own research.
And actually, National Coalition of 100 Black Women will be sponsoring a virtual forum on July 9th at 7 o'clock to 8:30. And people can log into the NCBW Facebook site, NCBW Chattanooga, and watch that forum. We invited 20 of the candidates running for office. We did get 10 responses that we're very happy about, and some of those will hit those areas Val just talked about, the local people running for office. And so people can chime into that. They can submit questions via the Facebook page and find out why these people are running and what they're standing for.
All right, Valerie, Tina, thanks so much.
All right, thanks for having us, Ray.
Thank you.
In the past month, TVA reopened most recreation areas and campgrounds which had been closed due to COVID-19. Last week, we heard from Angelo Giansante, park manager for Hiwassee Ocoee State Park, Keith Jenkins, who owns Quest Expeditions, a rafting business, and James Everett, manager of TVA's River Forecast Center.
Angelo, Keith, James, thanks for joining us.
Sure.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
TVA reopening along the Ocoee River. Tell us more about it.
The Ocoee hit some delays and snags with COVID, but we are now open and pumping and running a regular schedule. The outfitters have worked with us to extend some of those longer days in July to where we have more time out on the water. But we're really excited about having our guests come up and take an advantage of the opportunity this summer.
And Keith, that means a lot of work for you and the people who work with and for you.
We have. There's been a lot of work going on. A lot of the outfitters have made arrangements due to all the issues of getting started late, putting on a few more trips, but the trip size is a little smaller, so that's creating some additional work for everyone within their office, breaking down trips. Reservations are really coming at a very short notice. People are coming in. We're having a good turnout. The weather's been good so far, so that even assists with that. People are realizing that we're open. So they're coming out. It looks good. July is looking like it may be a really good month, and we're excited about what we've got. We are missing some of our groups just because so many other things canceled up throughout the Southeast and all the U.S. But other than that, we are having a lot of turnout with families and groups, and a few more people are at home, and so we're having additional turnout with that. So that's making up for some of the missed groups that we had.
And James, tell us more about your role in all this.
So at TVA's River Forecast Center in Knoxville, we handle the scheduling of those releases from the Ocoee projects to support that whitewater use. Of course, we handle a lot more things than that as well. We're looking at TVA's 49 reservoirs, flows, rainfall, managing the system to achieve a lot of benefits, things like flood control, recreation, navigation, power generation, water supply, and water quality. So it's been an active year for us. Even with COVID going on, we've had record-breaking rainfall. The wettest start of the year, first several months of the year, broke records for rainfall, and we're trending towards the third straight consecutive year of record-breaking weather. We're glad to be able to support those flows that are favorable for rafting and recreational use on the Ocoee.
It might seem counterintuitive since we're talking about the outdoors here, but you still have to follow some guidelines since COVID is still very much with us with cases spiking up.
Absolutely. We've been following some guidelines. All the outfitters put in place what they were going to do, going to the river with gear, with equipment, social spacing guests, and each one put in an additional plan of what they were doing at their outpost. Each one is a little bit different on how they greet guests, how they check guests in. For example, most went to all electronic waivers and check-ins. So we're checking everything in before they get here. All they need to do is let us know that they're here. They're still spacing on bus. And of course, the river creates natural spacing once they get in a raft and make their way downriver. The sanitizing of jackets is doing that after each use. And same thing with the bus has been sanitized every time someone gets off the bus before anyone gets back on. And so we're following all those processes. And I think a lot of it's handled real well. Going in behind the scenes after people are getting off the bus so they don't notice a lot of it. So it makes a lot of it look normal to everyone as they arrive and put some normalcy back into their life, but also know that things are being taken care of.
And Angelo, how are you and your colleagues at the park handling things since there are guidelines still to be followed under COVID-19?
Tennessee State Parks has been very active in ensuring the safety of our guests from the beginning. Outside is where you want to be. This virus is not tend to like the outdoors at all from everything we've done research-wise. We've ramped up our cleaning procedures in our bathhouses and restrooms, and we're seeing record attendance. So we're ready for you to get here. Just make sure you make your reservations if you plan on camping.
And you've projected what the business is looking like going into July. The rest of the entire summer, what more can you tell us about whatever plans any of you might have?
Well, business-wise, boss, for the outfitters, they're planning for as close to normal Julys as they can plan out and predict out. They bring up, we have trained staff. And looking at that, August, obviously, school starts back and things begin to slow off. So I would think all the outfitters are going to be able to prepare to have a good August. We have a full August. We have 5 weekends. So we're expecting August to be good. Labor Day, all of Labor Day falls in September. So we think we're going to have 2 very good months after July. Everything is looking good as we plan out from the schedule that just naturally happened. Some of the schools look like they've started a few days late, so that will also add to the people returning back here for the month of August and at the end of July as people take their last outing for summer.
far as Tennessee State Parks go, we are still leading hikes, still having adventures. One of the greatest things about coming up to this area is the Ocoee River is a blast, but you're surrounded by beauty. You've got the Hiwassee River, you've got hikes, you've got rock climbing, mountain biking. This is the closest thing you can get to an outdoor theme park that I've seen in my entire life. I think that anyone who comes to this area will have fun for all ages, regardless of your group. We've got something here to offer you, so we hope you come and give it a shot.
Yeah, and for River Forecasting, we live and die by Mother Nature, rainfall patterns, and what goes on with rainfall and runoff. But for the Ocoee system, we'll continue to schedule that water to be there in the mornings to turn on past the diversion dam each morning at the expected time and provide those releases at the right timing and quantity for the rest of the summer.
All right, Angelo, Keith, James, thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate everyone.
Thank you, guys.
You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment. This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Rebecca Brooks is a professional financial coach here in Chattanooga. She and her husband, Dylan Pollack, are the owners of R&D Financial Coaching. With the ongoing economic fallout from COVID-19, Rebecca told me in the past month that she's been hearing from plenty of clients.
Rebecca, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Ray.
Tell me more about you and Dylan and how you came up with this idea.
We actually went through our own financial journey about 5 or 6 years ago and found ourselves living in the middle of nowhere in a job that we were kind of stuck at and in debt and kind of really out of money and felt as though we didn't have options. That really was unsettling to us. So we wanted to try to improve that situation. And then we also were getting married and we had known that, you know, obviously so many marriages do end in divorce, but there's also a statistic that 20% of divorces are actually caused by money problems. And so we're like, okay, not only is this good for just us as people, but to set ourselves up in a good relationship, we want to control what we can control so that that's never an issue for us. And so that's really what started kind of our financial journey personally. To start the business itself, we're living in a community that was full of government employees during the most recent government shutdown. And the way that it just affected so many people because they were in that paycheck to paycheck cycle, it just really hit home. We just felt as though we had the knowledge and wherewithal to help people, to be a solution to that problem. So we decided to get our education as financial coaches and to start the business. So that's how it all started.
What brought you to Chattanooga last fall?
We were looking to relocate from Washington State. We were living just at the base of Mount Rainier. We just knew we wanted to get a little bit closer to our family who lives kind of in the southeast, east coast, but still wanted to be in an outdoor town. And so Chattanooga really just hit all the marks for us and we made the move.
You offer financial coaching.
It's really a very one-on-one relationship with our clients. We help people to focus really on their habits and behaviors, their daily decisions with money. Our approach is really based on viewing your finances as a part of your wellness practice. When your finances are managed and you're really in control of your money, as opposed to your money being in control of you, you can really just enjoy life more and not stress as much about every financial decision.
Tell me what you're hearing from people.
We're really seeing a lot of kind of freezing up from a lot of folks because there's just been so much change. And, you know, it's kind of like everybody's really waiting on the next shoe to drop. With that, we're just seeing savings increase. Debt is definitely going down. Like credit card balances are going down, which is really great. It's really kind of, in our eyes, a positive side of this is that, you know, it's unfortunate that there's so much going on in the world that is negative that's caused us to focus on our finances. But seeing like the savings rate go up to record levels, it hasn't been where it is now for years and years. Credit card debt starting to decline.
At the same time, even before COVID-19 hit, a lot of people were struggling with their finances.
We saw the numbers, and I think 2017 was the last time there was the Career Builder survey that told us, you know, 78% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Only 6 in 10 millennials even have a retirement fund. We're getting a little bit older, us millennials. We're not as young as we used to be. And so we really need to start to focus on those things. And that's all even before COVID. Things are just moving a lot, not only in your income, but also how are you paying bills? What are the programs available to you? Finances continue to be really complex. So we really focus on helping people make sense of all of that and make the best decision for them.
One theme that we've heard about in recent years, including now, is women and investing, women and finance. Curious to know your take on that.
Yeah, it's definitely a point of focus for me and my coaching, and with our business, we do try to really make the information of personal finance, make it interesting and speak specifically to women, because there is a very big gap in the participation for women with investing and making large financial decisions. It really comes back to the education that we've received, being seen as decision makers, managing our own money. It hasn't been really like this generational education that we get to kind of benefit from. So, because really even just our, like my mother was the first person in, you know, like our family tree to be able to manage her own money. Because of that, you know, she didn't get to learn from her mother. People don't talk about money in the household. It's improper, et cetera. And so because of that, there's just really nowhere to get the information. So you have to teach yourself. And then for women already trying to do so much by being a mother or a professional career woman, et cetera, or the, you know, the quote unquote, she's trying to have it all kind of thing. There's really just no time to educate yourself on finances too. There's just so much. And so it ends up getting kicked back to the back burner a lot. And that's just one example. I mean, there's just so many different reasons that women need to focus on their finances, but have found it hard to do so. And so I really try to help women to understand things in a very simple way that, and help them to prioritize their personal needs, because we're also really good at focusing on helping others and kind of putting ourselves again on that back burner. And so treating it as a form of self-care. And so that's really how I approach it with the women who I coach.
And where can people go online for more information? Where can they call?
Our website is www.radcoaches.com. And our phone number is 423-948-4118.
All right. Rebecca, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ray.
Cody Sims is a financial advisor with Ameriprise in the Chattanooga area. He told me in the past month about the unique financial circumstances that he's seen women clients face over the years and now during this pandemic, the glass ceiling phenomenon, greater longevity, and more.
75% of family caregivers are female. You may be caring for aging parents and children at the same time. So, you know, be sure that you talk with your family about your financial goals so that you are protected if something unexpected happens and that you have all the financial information you need. Also, women give more to charity than men on average and are also more likely to volunteer. So, you know, we need to think about immediate and long-term charitable giving for their time.
And all of this as we're dealing with the pandemic, all of this as we're dealing with job losses, the unrest that we've seen in
some of those unforeseen life changes are, you know, what we are all experiencing right now with the COVID-19 pandemic. Other unforeseen changes many times are divorce, widowhood, unexpected health events. We should know the realities around Social Security benefits and women's rights as a beneficiary of a spouse's qualified retirement plan following a divorce or even a widowhood. So knowledge is definitely power in that area. Not that someone has to know everything, but at least be able to contact someone who is familiar with the information necessary to make the educated decision. So we need to make sure that the affairs are in order. Definitely make sure that beneficiary designations are in place. Power of attorneys, whether it be healthcare or durable power of attorneys, which could also be healthcare directives and last will and testaments.
What are you hearing from clients now?
The things that I'm hearing are, do I need to make any changes? Am I going to be okay for the long run? How has this pandemic affected my overall plan? And these are all great questions. it reminds us of something. I should say it this way. There's nothing like a significant market downturn to remind all of us that investing involves risk. So the level of comfort or discomfort that one feels when the market moves up or down substantially is, you know, it's a good starting point on whether or not the portfolio fits the risk profile. So we need to always revisit our views on risk. As I explain risk to my clients, many times when I ask that question about what's your preferred risk tolerance, they look maybe like they have a question on their face. And so I ask them this way, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most aggressive, which also provides you the most return potential, but also the most risk of loss as well. You know, where do you feel comfortable? So if someone says, you know, well, maybe a six would mean that roughly 60% of the portfolio would be tied to the stock market. The other 40% could be in bonds, bond funds, cash, gold, other alternatives to help mitigate the risk. So making sure the investment allocation among stocks, bonds, alternatives, and cash is lined up appropriate to one's emotional wherewithal for investing is extremely important, and it can also reduce the volatility in the portfolio.
What's something that's surprised you this time around?
Something that has surprised me, that's a good question. The media usually sensationalizes matters, but this one has been, I guess the surprise here is that it has been more serious than others. This has been a very serious and difficult situation in the financial markets. It has, as we know, created the largest unemployment that we've in our lifetimes that we've ever seen. But the resiliency of Americans to keep pressing forward really is no surprise. But it is surprising about how far reaching this pandemic can be and how it can affect individuals and also, of course, businesses and trickle into the economy the way that it has. It has been a real eye opener.
And we have a long way to go.
We do. And the key is to stay focused on long-term goals and remember that an investment strategy is based on goals, not the news headlines of the day. So we should always avoid emotional investing. While it's important to be aware of the news related to COVID-19, particularly from a health perspective, we should be careful to not let our emotions affect our investing. And always take advantage of the situation that we're in. And in this case, you know, many have been able to buy in on the cheap, as we say. And as we think about the decline in the S&P 500, I'll mention a couple words about that. But the S&P 500 was at a high on February 19th and then dropped 34% to a low on March 23rd. And then since then has risen 37%. To its close yesterday on June 1st of 3,055. Now, an additional 11% gain is still needed to return it to its 2020 high of 3,387. But think about those who you know were willing to invest some dollars they had in cash or in bonds into the market back around those low points. So some strong gains were able to be made coming out of this as well, which facilitates the overall recovery.
All right. Cody, thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Ray.
You're listening to Scenic Roots on WUTC. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Thanks, as always, to our producers, Haley Solomon, Carly Dodson, Elena Nurabadi, Connor Brown, and Will Davis. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.